So this is from Psalm 143. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit faints with longing. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant.
New Testament reading can be found on page 1052 in your church Bibles. It's Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, you lovely lot. It's a privilege to stand here and see all your faces, it really is. Because do you know why? Because you're my family, aren't you? Yeah. Okay, so devoted to prayer. Here's a challenge for us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Sometimes that sounds like the perfect church, doesn't it? The perfect church. And I actually don't think there's a perfect church, not yet. Now, last week, Dave spoke of how the disciples were devoted to the breaking of bread together, the shared bread and wine to remind them of Jesus' body and blood on the cross as a sacrifice. That was God's sacrifice for us. He accepted that so that we can be forgiven from all our sins. And Dave quoted from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and amazingly, I said to him after his sermon, oh, I've just been reading a quote from him as well. Maybe God had something to do with that. And the words that stood out for me from Bonhoeffer, two words, obedience and faith. So I'll mention that later. In the reading from Luke, the unjust judge, the widow in Jesus' parable was an example of one of the most poor and defenseless people in Jewish culture at that time. No husband meant no one to support her, to provide for her. Worse, if she was childless, and we don't know that she was. God said in both Old and New Testaments that his people must honour our parents. And it's the only commandment with a promise after it, that you may have long life. Honour your parents. What is clear, though, is that this woman was in trouble and she didn't know what to do. So she went to a local judge for his opinion. Now, this judge clearly wasn't an honest man. He either wasn't a believing Jew or most likely he wasn't a Jew at all. We know that because ordinary Jewish disputes were taken before the elders of the church in the local synagogue, rather than public courts, and there would be three judges, one to represent the accuser, one for the defendant, and a third one who is independent. Good idea. Jesus called this man the unjust judge because he clearly had no compassion on this poor widow, and also he couldn't be bothered to listen or help her. A powerful man he might have been, because he would have been appointed by Herod or by Roman leaders to judge much more important things than the problems of this Jewish woman. And he probably wasn't averse to taking the odd bribe either. I guess many people would have given up asking at this point, but that could have been catastrophic for this widow, because she would have to find another means of getting some money, which could have got her into all sorts of trouble. But the thing that she was commended for was that she kept persisting in asking. She was having none of the judge's refusals. She persisted until she was answered. And that's what Jesus is commending her for, which is why he told this story for all of his disciples then and for us now about praying to him. We need to persist. We need to be devoted in prayer and never give up. And why? Because the person we pray to is Almighty God, and only he is righteous. Only he is the perfect judge. Jesus makes this clear when he says, "Do not judge people, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, each other, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That's quite horrifying, isn't it? I think humanly we do kind of suss people out, don't we? We think this is probably you, or that was probably that. But that's something we've got to put down. God is the only judge. So why should we, as Jesus' disciples, we are, after all, grateful for our salvation. We repented, we were forgiven, and now we're saved. So why should we be devoted to prayer? Well, because we're disciples of Jesus, we need to learn obedience. And we are taught that God always hears and answers the prayers of his children. Always. In Matthew 7, Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And again in John 5, this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. However, it takes time to become obedient. We don't stop at the point where we have given our lives to Jesus. That's only the beginning. This is why Jesus says, keep going, keep persisting. In that obedience, he will daily change us into his brothers and sisters. But often we don't persist because we think we're not being answered, or that God isn't listening to our prayers because they're not good enough. Or worse, we do hear God and we think we know better. That's dangerous. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Adam and Eve thought they could know better, or at least be equal to God. They would decide which tree to eat from. It's dangerous also for us, because if we don't meet together to share bread and wine, our faith won't grow. If we don't meet together to share our lives, to read our Bibles, to share our prayers, to tell each other of answered prayer. Do you know, in a moment, we've had answered prayer here. A tiniest thing Manda prayed for, and it happened. Do we take that for granted? I think we do, don't we? In our lives, the little things, I'll tell you how many times God has shown me where my lost keys are. He's told me who I should phone. Yeah, you're all nodding. You see, we do it, don't we? He's interested. Almighty God is interested in that tiny prayer. So I think there are two ways to respond to this teaching from Jesus. We could obey what he says, or we could follow our human desires. And this is why those words that jumped out at me are important. First, obedience, and then faith. See, God loves us. He loves us more than we can ever imagine, more than our mum, our dad loves us, more than our best friend, more than our spouse. He loves us more than that. And he wants us to become like his son Jesus. But he's not an answering machine. Psalm 27, 14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong in your obedience and wait for the Lord." To know that he will always answer our prayers requires our obedience to wait. Sometimes in a day or two, sometimes in a moment, but sometimes years from now. But he will answer. I'll say that again. When we come to know Jesus who died in our place, when we surrender our lives to him and tell him we are his, we are displaying obedience to his call. And the more we obey him, the stronger his spirit grows in us. And when the smallest prayer is answered, as we share our lives, our faith grows. Obedience first, faith next. And sometimes God stretches us, doesn't he? It says in the Bible that God doesn't tempt us. Oh, no, no, no. But sometimes he tests us. He makes us wait. And as we wait, and then we're answered, our faith grows. The scripture, "Pray without ceasing," is found in 1 Thessalonians 5. This verse is part of a passage to encourage believers to always rejoice, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances, because that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So to pray without ceasing means to maintain a constant connection with God, engaging in ongoing communication through prayer, through gratitude, and constant mindfulness of his presence. Praying to God, talking to God or Jesus is obedient because it's what he asks us to do. He loves us to talk to him. He says, "Come and tell me," and then to listen for his answers. But it doesn't do God any favors. It is necessary for our growth as Christians. It puts us alongside God, alongside his will. It draws us into deep understanding of his love for us and for others. It grows our desire to know him more, and on we go. To forgive others as he has forgiven our sins. Psalm 143, I think, is a perfect example of how prayer worked for David, who God chose to be his warrior king. I should show off if I was his warrior king. It showed David's obedience to God as a very young man when he was told to go and face the giant Goliath. Oh, my days. In God's strength, David overcame him with what? A sling and a pebble? I'd have shown off, would you? But later, God sent him out to lead his armies into triumphant battles. And David triumphed not because he was capable, but because he was obedient. At times, God's instructions sometimes must have looked humanly impossible, because they are. But the more he obeyed, the more his faith grew. To encourage us all, David wasn't perfect. He made some really rotten mistakes, as we all do. And when he did, he fell on his knees before God to repent, and he was forgiven, just as we are. So in this psalm, David comes to God crying out for mercy, pleading with God to hear him. He was scared that his human spirit was failing fast, and he spread out his hands to God in desperation. Have you ever been in that place? I certainly have. David asked God once more. He was learning to give him God's strength and leading through a situation beyond his human control. To imagine that you or I don't need God in every moment of our lives is dangerous, because without him we are pretty useless. And as David settled down during his psalm, I guess he looked back to remember all of the past times when God had come to save him, to strengthen him. God had never let him down. He will never let us down. Why would he now? And David's faith was restored, because once again he realized his human weakness and gave himself completely into God's hands. Here's obedience again, followed by another powerful strengthening of his faith. Isn't that what we want? To grow in faith so that we never doubt God, even when we don't understand what he does. And that's often, isn't it? To trust and obey, because God, without God's spirit, we are nothing and can do nothing. What David was saying in verse 12 concisely was, "You do it, Lord, because I can't." He didn't say, "I'm a brave warrior, leave this to me. I've done this before." No, rather David cried out to God for his direction again, trusting him to silence his enemies, to put the devil down, to destroy all his foes, to destroy all evil. And if he was willing, to use David as his servant, to go for him once more, but only if God would fill him with his spirit again, to provide his strength and his courage. Obedience, then faith. But we mustn't stop at obedience. So in the parable of the unjust judge, the widow demonstrated for us that persisting in prayer achieved her answer. Pray without ceasing. In the psalm, David depended on God's strength and direction. He came on his knees, desperate for help, and both were answered by the one who loved them, the one who loves all of his children and calls us all to serve him in whatever way he gifts us by his Spirit. Let's take a moment to think of that one prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. What's that called? Just that one. In obeying Jesus, we say the very words that he asked us to. Firstly, we address him as Father, Abba, Dad. How wonderful is that? Before you go any further, the creator of heaven and earth lets us call him Dad. Then we say, "Hallowed be thy name," asking that his name will be hallowed, which means greatly revered and honoured all over our world. That is, that all people will come to know him through Jesus, his son. Next, we ask that his kingdom, that wonderful, perfect kingdom, ruled by his son Jesus, will come to earth Then we ask forgiveness for our sins and remember that promise in 1 John 1. I quote, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And that is how we receive the ability to forgive as he does. Next, we ask for his protection, as David did, from evil, from temptation, knowing that our God is more powerful than all evil. It's nothing to him. And we ask that he will provide for us everything that we need. Note, not all that we want, but all that he knows we need. And we confess that it was he who chose each one of us. How brilliant is this? Thank you, Jesus, for this powerful prayer. You see, Almighty God doesn't gain by us making this prayer or any prayer to him. It is we who, in obedience to Jesus, gain as we say it, because it speaks of our willingness to obey him and our trust and faith in him will grow. Amen. But at the end of the parable, here's a bad bit, of the unjust judge, Jesus says this, "However, when the Son of Man," that's him, "returns to earth, will he find faith on this earth?" Let's think for a moment how Jesus will find you and I when he returns to gather all of his disciples together. Are we obedient to Jesus in whatever way he asks us? Do we know that we're too weak on our own, but filled with his Spirit, there is nothing he can't achieve through us, through us as willing servants? And when we obey him, we will sense our faith in him growing day by day, so that we will be able to serve him in whatever way he asks. Amen.